Next up, Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist, the founder of Crikey, and the Mayne Report is with me right now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Now, let's talk about the stock market, the fallout from Centro. You're giving us some pretty dismal news. You're not to blame for it, of course. But today there's news here in Adelaide that Centro's planned $100 million expansion of the Arndale Shopping Centre has been put on the shelf for a while. What else can you tell us about some of these property companies that aren't doing too well?
Well, in the case of Centro, they've got $26 billion of assets on the books and $18 billion of debt. And they've got to roll over about $4 billion of debt in the next few weeks. So clearly, locking in financing for $100 million expansions in Adelaide or any city for that matter is up in the air whilst they fight for survival and try and desperately flog off a few assets and raise some cash.
What's your gut feeling? Are they doing, are the wolves circling, or do you think they'll be able to pull through?
I think they'll be able to pull through, but they're clearly in the process of selling some of their wholesale funds off. So they're going to downsize substantially. They'll probably finish up about half the size, I guess. I mean, the $26 billion of centres at the moment, they will literally have to sell, I would imagine, more than $5 billion worth of shopping centres and then get down to a more manageable size, because the banks are literally beating at the door saying, give us our money back, you've got too much debt. So, I think a great deal of uncertainty until it's decided whether the banks will let them trade on.
Now, how's MFS going? That's the company chaired by former Liberal leader Andrew Peacock. They've been in the news lately. How are they doing?
Well, I think MFS is actually not going to survive. They are.
This is a property trust that's based largely in Queensland, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it came out of some Gold Coast financial planners and lawyers, and they built up a massive pile of assets, including some trophy assets like Christopher Scase's former Port Douglas Mirage.
You'd wonder whether that's jinxed, that particular asset.
I think that asset is jinxed. So, look, they're desperately trying to sell off literally 15,000 hotel beds at the moment. But their stock's been suspended for more than a week now, and because of the brand damage from freezing funds, people can't get their money out. The CEO has resigned. The new finance director who's coming in has decided he won't join. So I think basically, they're in crisis, and I don't think MFS will survive, but I do think Centro will probably survive in a smaller form.
Now, the stock market generally, first day of the month, last month, it lost, about 11%? The ASX.
That's right, down 11% last month, but today it's up 184 points in one of the biggest surges in a single day. So it's absolutely going up and down like a yo-yo at the moment, Nick. I mean, we were down by 23% from the peak on November 1, and now we've recovered, more than 10% of that.
So what's 184 points in terms of the overall market?
Oh, well, I mean, the market's up 184 to 5,800, so you're talking more than 3%. In one day, so we've stacked on literally close to $100 billion in one day. So it's a big surge, but you've got to take into account that it's been having some big falls.
3:23 on 5AA. Talking to Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist, author. How do I call the Mayne Report? You run the Mayne Report, I guess.
Yeah, I'm publisher of
the publisher of the Mayne Report, themaynereport.com, and also founder of Crikey, the e-magazine?
E-zine,
which has seen off the likes of the Bulletin after 128 years, I guess.
Yes, that's right. I have to say that it's a traditional day for Crikey on February the 1st, because that's the day when all of the political donation figures for every political party in every state, territory and federally are all dumped on the internet at 9 o'clock in the morning in a most unintelligible form, and then we all sit there all day trying to go through the figures and work out who's given what to whom and why.
Now, these are the federal figures or the state figures?
All figures, all states and territories. So there's literally many, many hundreds and hundreds of different figures that all get dumped on the one day, and you sit there and your head spins as you try to work out what it all means.
But these aren't figures for the last federal election campaign, because it only goes up to, June the 30th of 2007?
That's right. Australia has probably the weakest disclosure laws in the Western world for political donations figures. Not only do they dump all the figures for all parties and all governments on the one day, but the figures are already 8 months out of date, because these figures only relate to 2006-07. Contrast that to the UK, where during election campaigns you have to release your figures on a weekly basis. yet we won't be told who funded Kevin Rudd's campaign last or this current financial year until February the 1st next year. So we're getting very stale figures, but there's still a lot of interesting stories that are contained within those figures.
Now, tell us about some of those stories, because the headline in the Financial Review today is Money Talks with ALP. Is it just the ALP? Or?
Oh, well, look, I mean, all parties have been getting huge amounts. I think I'll quickly race you through the biggest donations in South Australia. The ALP got $25,000 out of Adelaide Brighton, the big cement company, and then after that it was basically ETSA. They gave them $15,000, a company called Fairmont Homes $50,000, and the rest were unions. So the AMWU $63,000, the AWU $41,000, the Liquor Union $72,000, and the Shoppies Union $98,000. Liberals are not that different. Adelaide Brighton $125,000, so clearly a big preference for the Liberal Party, and Adelaide Brighton is one of your big Adelaide-based companies. The Australian Hotels Association $25,000 to the Libs in South Australia, but nothing to Labor, so that might be penalties for smoking laws or something like that.
Sure.
And then, interestingly, the Victorian Liberal Party has given the South Australian Liberal Party $52,000. So
I thought the Victorians hated South Australia for what John, although John Brumby is a Labor Premier.
Our Liberal Party has been bailing out your Liberal Party, is helping out the backwater or something.
So, don't go there.
No.
We need to get the water in the first place from the Victorians. Now, what about federally? There were some surprises there, weren't there? There was one group called Terrace Tower Holdings, $433,000 to the New South Wales ALP. Who are they?
Terrace Tower is the former partners in Westfield. A guy called the late John Saunders, who was Frank Lowy's original partner in Westfield, now runs his own little independent property group called Terrace Tower. So they've given a fair bit. Frank Lowy's Westfield, $582,000 all up. And the one that surprised a few people was Dick Honan, who runs a group called Manildra, who's one of the rich listers, who's
That's the ethanol energy.
The big ethanol guy, yeah. Mm. He's actually ended up giving more to Labor than Liberal, when he's traditionally been a sort of a great mate of Labor's. And the argument goes is that the New South Wales government has passed a few laws that have helped the ethanol industry, getting it into petrol and things like that, and all of a sudden the big checks have come out for the Labor Party from Dick Honan in New South Wales. So,
but how do we compare to places like the US is just out of control with their election spending. Are we less transparent than even the US?
Oh, we are far less transparent than the US, and we have an anything-go system. In the US, companies cannot donate money. It's against the law, and nor can foreigners. Whereas in Australia, a company like called Malfa Holdings, which is one of the biggest Malaysian developers, which owns a whole bunch of hotels around Australia, Hayman Island, they've just happily given the Labor Party $200,000 federally. Now, that would be against the law in the US. You're just not allowed to do it. Only individuals can donate in the US. But the sad thing about the US is that you have to be a multimillionaire to be in politics. So there's no limitations on the amount of your own money you can spend in politics. So and we also have public funding where, as you know, Nick, you got the biggest amount of anyone, I think, this
well,
year.
For independence, but my campaign actually cost more than
yeah,
the $312,000 that I got.
That's right, but we get $2.10 a vote federally, supposedly, to stop the need for getting all sorts of donations out of companies and things, but gee, I'll tell you what, the Labor Party, they are one fundraising machine because...
A lot of businesses have sniffed the wind, haven't they? And that's why Labor's probably done better than the Libs this time around.
Yeah, well, I think so. And you know what I reckon is the biggest story of all, Nick, is that there's a company in Queensland called Labor Holdings and another one called Labor Resources. And these are the investment vehicles for the Queensland Labor Party, basically, which invested, which received $16.5 million when they sold their radio station way back in 1986. And when Wayne Swan and Kevin Rudd were running Queensland Labor, they didn't waste the money when they knocked off the National Party, they invested it, and they now have assets of, well, we don't see the figures, but I reckon it must be getting close to a couple of hundred million.
Jeez.
And the dividends that the Labor Holdings and Labor Resources paid to the Labor Party in Queensland was $8.35 million. And I know for a fact that they had drawn $72 million in dividends off their investment.
Well, let's hope that Wayne Swan does for the Australian economy he did for New Queensland Labor.
This is the great irony, Nick, is that Swan and Rudd have proved to be brilliant managers of the Queensland Labor Party's finances. They have built up a massive war chest. Can they do the same thing for the country?
Stephen, we have to leave it there. Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist and publisher of The Mayne Report and founder of Crikey.